Stay where you'll be old one day. So good evening, everybody. Sorry, can you say that again? Good evening, everybody. So it's good to see you guys. I want to say thank you so much for all those who were there last Sunday for making us feel so welcome. I was the one in the dress, so I decided not to wear it tonight, but there you go. And I'd just like to introduce my wife to you tonight. It's Catherine over there. And we come to you very much as a team. We really believe the Lord's called us together. We really believe the Lord's got something that he wants us to do as a couple. And so when you see us, that we've come here to serve with you at Core. I'm really looking forward to doing that over these next few months, etc. What I want to do before I start this talk is just really share something very briefly with you, which the Lord has been putting in my heart as we've been sitting there. And at the moment, we're staying over quite near Castle Knock. And of course, just below Castle Knock, that fantastic Phoenix Park, isn't it? It's absolutely amazing, isn't it? Have you seen the Power Walkers? They're great, aren't they? All their hair done up, white shoes, powering through the park. And we've been going back and forward in the car, and I was thinking, that'd be quite fun, wouldn't it? Shouldn't do that, really, should I? Anyway, I was out there walking the other day, and I was praying for you guys, and I was walking, I have no idea what's going on in Phoenix Park, and I was just beginning to walk towards these woods. And as I walked down into these woods, there's this beginning of a river that began to flow. And as the river began to flow along, on the left-hand side were all these trees. And none of these trees had any fruit on them at the time. And as I began to look at these trees, suddenly I heard the sound, you know the sound like popcorn? Whatever. And suddenly these trees are just full of fruit. And they're full of fruit and they're full of colour. And they're full of life and they're full of vibrancy. They're full of vitality. And as I looked at them, I just felt the Lord say, you know, I'm coming to bring fruit. And I'll tell you, you guys are such a blessed generation. Do you know that? I just came in here tonight and I was thinking, man, the Lord's got something for you guys. And you know, you're the ones who are going to come and reach out to this generation, you know. You're the ones with the anointing upon your life. You're the ones that God is going to, you're going to bear much fruit. Because the heart of the Father is on this generation to reach out to your generation. And that's what we're going to really pray for. And we as leaders want to support you in that. We want to get behind you. And we want to really help you and get alongside you. You're not doing it on your own. We want to do it with you, but we want to bless you and release you. And I think that was really powerful this, earlier on, saying the whole thing about the gifting, because my heart is to release you guys into what God's, you know, what God has called you to do. That's what's on my heart. I want to see you do what God has called you to do. I want to release you into the things of his kingdom, because how dare I not? How dare I not? And so I want to see you guys grow up and be mature men and women of God. And so that's what we're going to pray for over these times ahead. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your Son, Lord. We just think you're amazing. We just think you're absolutely incredible. And Lord, this is the season where we remember your walk to the cross, Lord. We remember the price you paid for us so that we could be fruitful. And Lord, you came to bring us life and life to the full. You came to bring us into a relationship with the Father. You came that we could know you. You came that we could be in your very presence. And Lord, we take you on your word. We want to accept that. But Lord, we also want to be those people who reflect who you are. And so Jesus, we pray right now, Lord, that you'll come amongst us, that we may bear fruit. And that we would see many, many, many people come to know and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so this evening what we're going to look at is just begin to look into the week which today is known as Palm Sunday. It's the beginning of Jesus' walk towards the cross. And it's the beginning when Jesus was ready, the time had come for him to start that walk into Jerusalem, where he knew that he was going to be taken, treated cruelly, and then nailed upon a cross. Why? Because he could see the greater good from it. He could see that you and me and you and me and you and me, that one day we could be brought into relationship and be brought into knowing Jesus. And so that walk was in his very heart. That walk was in his very soul, that he thought, you know, his passion, his love for each one of us. So this is the beginning of the story as Jesus begins this walk towards the cross. And it says this, and if you've got a Bible with you, it's in Luke chapter 19, verse 28, and it says this. After Jesus had said this, and that is, he was teaching parables, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, tell him, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. The day will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." And so this is the story as Jesus begins. He's just finished teaching and he's about to start his walk, knowing that at the end of the walk will be a cross. He starts walking into Jerusalem, and at the time of Jerusalem, there was great celebration. There was a Passover feast which was going on, and it's very much like St. Patrick's Day. The whole nation comes together to, not, I wouldn't say worship, it's probably not the right thing, but you know, to come to celebrate. And so it was like the city of Jerusalem was swirled with people. People came from all over the country to celebrate Passover. And I don't know if any of you know what Passover was, I'm sure you do, but Passover was like an 8-day celebration. It was like a national holiday. It's a bit like St. Patrick's Day, where everyone had the time off. They could go into the city and they could go and celebrate. And Passover was a celebration of when God came and rescued through Moses the people who had been enslaved in Egypt. And it was a celebration of when God spoke the word and he led his people through Moses out of the captivity, out of Egypt, out of the bondage, out of the slavery. And he provided a way out. He provided a way to the sea. And so people who had been in bondage, people who had been in slavery, suddenly the Lord came, heard the cry of the people, and he opened a way for them. And that way enabled them to come out of the slavery and towards the promised land. And so you can imagine why the people were so happy, can't you, in celebrating the Passover. They're remembering what God can do. They're remembering what God can do when they cry out to him, that God can deliver his people. And you see, what the situation was of those who were in Israel at the time, they're under the captivity of the Roman Empire. And so they were crying out to God, "Please set us free. Please set us free from the oppression of the Romans." And so they remembered back to the time when God's people were released by God from slavery towards the promised land. And so in their hearts there's a real belief that if God could come to their city, he could set them free. And so unknown to them, God comes to their city. God starts the walk into the city of Jerusalem. God begins his walk into the center, into the place where they're celebrating what freedom is about, into the place where people are crying out, please set us free. Please set us free from oppression. Please set us free from all this which is stopping us, which is holding us in captive. So they're celebrating, please come, Lord, please come. And you see, they didn't realize God is beginning his walk in the town. They're celebrating. He was beginning the walk. And so it says this. As Jesus approached the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're untying it, tell him the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. And so what was happening is the Lord was coming towards Jerusalem. He came to this particular place at the Mount of Olives. He sent two of his disciples ahead of him to go and get hold of a colt. And I don't know if any of you know anything about colts. Well, I'll explain that in a minute. I'll explain it now, actually. Colts are wild, stubborn, ill-mannered animals. They're animals that no one has ever sat upon. They haven't been broken in. They haven't been trained. They're a donkey that hasn't been trained yet. So to go and sit upon a donkey that has not been trained is not the best thing to do in the world, is it? But it's bad enough sitting on a horse, isn't it? And you know, and it's not trained. It is trained. But sitting on a donkey, can you imagine that? Sort of and it'll be turning its back on you, wouldn't it? You'd be trying to climb on it, it'd be turning around like this, wouldn't it? And so Jesus asked the people, two of his disciples, to go and get a colt. Can you imagine that? Go and get this ill-mannered donkey. Go into town and get him, won't you? Go and get this ill, and he's, oh man. You've asked us to do many things, Lord, but please not the colt. But the Lord asked them, so they go and find the colt. And it's always funny, you know, why did Jesus want to come in the donkey? Well, the first thing was that he came to fulfill Scripture, didn't he? Jesus came to fulfill Scripture. And this is the verse that says about what he fulfilled. It comes from Zechariah 9:9. It says this. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And so Jesus came, firstly, to fulfill Scripture. And so he did just that, didn't he? He asked the disciples, sent them out, said, get us a colt, get us a donkey. And so they brought the donkey to him. And then they put Jesus upon the donkey. So why did Jesus use a donkey? Well, obviously, there's a bit of speculation about that. But the second point is Jesus came on a donkey to show his authority over creation. Why? Because he's God. We can do it. We couldn't suddenly tame that which is untamed. But he could. Why? He's God. He does what he likes. He's God of creation. It's not difficult for him. So the most unruly animal, he can just go and sit on and come in serenely into town. And the great thing about God using a wild, stubborn, ill-mannered donkey was if he could tame the wildest, stubbornest beast, how much more could Jesus restore the wayward person? How much more could he restore those who are broken and crushed by the world? If he can bring a donkey that is ill-mannered, ill-tamed, unrideable, and the King of Kings can ride upon him, how much more can he do with people like you and people like me? I suggest quite a lot. And so Jesus came into town on a donkey, unexpectedly, to fulfill Scripture. And it says this, when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And you see, when the King comes into town, those of the kingdom recognize the King, don't they? When the King comes into town, those of the kingdom recognize the King. And so those who recognize the King, what can they do but worship? If Jesus comes in here a donkey, what would we do? We'll be worshipping, wouldn't we? We'll be praising him. And what do? They took off their cloaks, they put them on the ground before him, which was a sign of the red carpet treatment. It's what you do for a king. They cut down, as they say, Palm Sunday, they cut down the palms and they laid them before him, which is a sign of triumph. And they began to praise him. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. And these are the people, and I put that this is the worship of the grateful. So when Jesus came into town, it was those who knew the King that worshipped him. Those who had been forgiven much, the prostitutes, the sinners, those who are lost, those who are blind, those who have been deaf, those who encounter the love of Jesus and the restoring power of God in them and his ministry, those who have been transformed by God, those who recognize Jesus as King, came to worship him because they knew what he had done for them. It's great, isn't it? And we can do that as well. That's why we love worship, isn't it? Because we're thanking him for what he's done for us. And then, of course, when Jesus moves, when Jesus comes, it always upsets religious leaders, doesn't it? They hate it, don't they? The most critical people of Jesus often are people like leaders of the church. It's really sad, isn't it? And so some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And Jesus said, "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." You see, the religious leaders had much to protect: their reputation, their standing in society, their great wealth. They had done very well in their positions of power, and they enjoyed being respected by society. But you see, when the King of Kings comes into town on a donkey, it threatens religious leaders to the core. It undermines their very position. For if the Son of God comes riding into town on a donkey, this act of humility that the King of Kings would come in on a donkey would come to serve as a servant and not to come in the way we understand kingship. That says an awful lot about how they should execute their positions in society, doesn't it? Do you understand that? If the Lord of Lords comes in on a donkey, how much more are leaders of the church? How much more are those in power? How much those politicians should be servants? Not to get the praise of men, not to be wealthy, not to be looking for our own good. We should be coming with humility. So when Jesus walked into town on a donkey, boy, did they hate it. And when those in society who had been the outcasts came to worship him, they hated it even more. And so when Jesus came into town in the way he did, it absolutely ruined their day. And Jesus said to those teachers, he said, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." And again, you see, God is showing that he is God of creation, because even stones cry out to him. Even stones are worshipping Jesus. Creation worships Jesus. In Romans 1:20 it says, God's invisible qualities are shown in creation. And something about God we see in creation that is worshipping him is saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And as he approaches Jerusalem and sees the city, he begins to weep. His heart is broken. And this is the word that really stands out to me out of all this. He says this: if you, even you, had known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. And as I said this morning, we've got to be so careful not to miss the things of God. Because we would never thought the Lord would come on a donkey, would we? The King of the Kings would come into town on a donkey. It's not the way we think, is it? We think they would come out as a military ruler or as a king, dressed up in beautiful clothes, but he didn't. He came as a servant. And you see, what I really want is as we begin to seek together as a community what God is saying to us, is that we don't want to miss the things of God, do we? We don't want to miss the way God moves. And sometimes it's not how we expect, is it? We don't always expect God to do the things he does. And you see, the horrible thing Jesus said here, as he weeps, as he's broken, he says, if you, even you, had known on this day that what would bring you peace. And we don't want to miss out on that peace, do we? And we don't need to, and we're not going to. We're certainly not going to. And then after that, it says, the day will come when your enemies will build an embankment against you and circle you and hem you on every side. They'll dash you to the ground. And you and the children within the walls, they will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. And so we want to recognize God's coming, don't we? We want to recognize that Jesus doesn't always move in the way we expect. But his heart is to come into the city. And his heart is to come into the city of Dublin. His heart is to come into the very place. And you know, when we start beginning to pray, he'll be on the outside of that city. And I'll say this, after this, Jesus said this, he went on ahead going up to Dublin. Can you imagine that? I'm going to Dublin. I'm coming to the city. I'm coming to set the captives free. I'm coming to preach the year of the Lord's favour. I'm coming to the city. 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 Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're just in awe of you. And Lord, we just acknowledge that your ways are not our ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, how much higher, Lord, are your ways than ours? And Lord, there's only one Lord, and that's you. And Lord, we're your servants. And Lord, we just want to welcome you into our hearts right now. And Lord, we want to acknowledge the miracle you've done in our lives by calling us. And Lord, we know what we were like before we knew you. Lord, we've seen the miracle when you've brought us from death to life. You brought us from outside the city into the city of our King. We're no longer on the outside. We're on the inside. And Lord, we want to bless your name. We want to welcome the King into this place. We want to welcome the King into Dublin. Lord, we want to seek your ways. Lord, we just want to. And Lord, I just thank you so much that when you're ministering, Lord, that you, even though you were the Messiah, you were the Christ, you did everything to stop them crowning you and putting you on the throne by force, because you knew the greater thing set before you, which was the cross. And Lord, we just come now just to remember that which you have paid for us now. And the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup of wine. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so we just break this bread now. Remind us of his life broken upon the cross for us. So Jesus now welcomes you to the table. He welcomes you to eat and drink with him, to remember him, to be strengthened by him, to be cleansed by him, and to be part of the team which he's putting together to reach out into the world. So come to the table. So can I invite those who are distributing the bread and wine to come forward? I don't know who you are. So come forward now and receive the body and blood of Jesus.